Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our stay-at-home worship podcast for my sermon on the scriptures for May 16th, 2020, entitled Upward and Outward, based on our readings from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and Luke chapter 24, 44 through 53. The story of Jesus Christ ascending to heaven reminds me of one of my college courses, Psychology 496, Experimental Psychology. It was the capstone of the curriculum for us psych majors at Marymount Manhattan College, from which I graduated in this century, by the way. In the class, we seniors put to use everything that we had learned to design and implement and analyze experimental research of our own. Before beginning individual work on our own grand studies, professor and mentor to many, Dr. Linda Solomon, set us to work on a group mini experiment. Our task was a study of imitative human behavior. And I'll skip a lot of the details, but here's what our research involved. We took to the streets of Manhattan's Upper East Side, and some of us served as observers and record keepers, as others stood on a street corner and looked up. That's all. Looked up at a particular spot high above us without pointing or saying anything. While some looked up, the rest of us looked around and charted whether any passersby noticing our colleagues' behavior would imitate it and look up too. So as I said, today's scripture readings brought that now 17-year-old experiment to mind. Although I note that none of our randomly observed passersby stopped to say, "Students of Marymount, why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" Why do we stand looking up toward heaven? Many outside the church ask that question of us, accusing Christians of being just like those unwitting participants in my senior psych experiment, mindlessly looking heavenward just because others are doing the same without understanding what it is we're supposed to focus on. There's some truth to that. When we imagine heaven as a kind of exclusive club or dwell only on our personal salvation, ignoring the biblical witness to God's longing for the salvation, the health, the wholeness of the whole world, we need to take a closer look at what we think we're looking at. Others, in and out of the church, would say that even when we know what we're looking at, Christianity focuses too much on heaven, too much on the life to come, on some future fulfillment of God's plan, and too little on the right here, right now of this life, this world. There's some truth to that. When we offer spiritual nourishment to our neighbors while ignoring their mortal needs, the need to be fed, housed, educated, respected, alive, we need to bring our gaze back to earth. Still others in the church say we don't look heavenward enough, that we've replaced good works with politics and lost our spiritual compass point. And there is the truth there too. For if, as the letter of James cautions, faith without works is dead, then the opposite also holds. Works without faith may be worthy in themselves, but they are not what we are called to. If we forget whom we worship and to whom we belong and from whom all blessings come and who calls us to bless others, then we're in danger of putting ourselves before God and mistaking our actions for God's desire. Not to mention that we grow weary and faint without the abiding presence of God to uphold us. Three views on looking upward. As there are three versions, by the way, of Jesus' ascension to heaven. One, a terse sentence from the longer ending of Mark. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. There you go. And on this Sunday, this last of Eastertide, which we again mark as Ascension Sunday, the lectionary offers us not one, but two Lucan accounts. One from the Luke Gospel occurs on Easter Day, the other from Acts 40 days after the resurrection. Luckily, though, we don't have to choose between them. The Bible tells a true story, we believe, but we should be careful about confusing truth with facts, scripture with journalism. And if Luke chooses the ascension to end his gospel and to begin the book of Acts, that tells us something right there. Because this isn't a story about the mechanics of how Jesus' physical, though resurrected body gets whisked up to heaven. It's in part a story of his glorification, but it's also a story about the ones he's left behind. What's up with them? How do we live as faithful disciples of the one who is no longer with us? What happens now? There's an ascension story in one of the old medieval mystery plays, which I'd like to share with you. But don't worry, no ye old English or German, I guess, here. I'll give you a more contemporary language version. So, Jesus is on his way to heaven when he hears voices calling out, "Jesus, yo, Jesus, wait up!" And he sees two beings dressed in dazzling white trying to catch up to him. He waits patiently, treading air, I guess, for them to join him. And then as they all continue the upward journey together, Jesus says to them, "Good job, y'all." Good angeling, I guess. One of the angels replies, "Gee, thanks, Lord, but you're the one who deserves kudos. Great job yourself. You went the whole nine yards, did everything that God asked of you." "But," the angel hesitates, "what happens now? Isn't there more to be done?" "Of course there is," says Jesus. "There's a lot more to be done." "But weren't you paying attention? Didn't you hear me tell my disciples that they will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth?" The two angels exchange glances. Then one of them says, "Well, Lord, we heard you, but I'm sorry, I mean no disrespect, but have you been paying attention? Are you really going to trust that bunch with God's mission?" The other one adds, "Seriously, Lord, what are you thinking? I hope you have a backup plan." Jesus pauses for a moment and then says simply, "Nope. No backup." No backup plan? Jesus' disciples, we are plan A and plan B and plan C? That's a terrifying thought. Thanks be to God. This is a story of good news, a story of promise that though Jesus has ascended to God, he will be with us through the Spirit of God here and now. And the power of the Holy Spirit is grace sufficient to our needs. It is not, after all, up to us alone. Phew. But there's a catch, of course. For the Spirit will blow where the Spirit will, and God's work will be done. And we must decide how and if we will join in. How and if we will let the Spirit blow through our lives, carrying us where she will. People of Second Presbyterian Church, why do we stand looking up toward heaven? We look up for comfort, for courage, for strength, for guidance. We look heavenward for the sheer joy of meditating on God, abiding with God. But remember, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So we cannot just look upward. We need to look outward too. We need to look around. For it is not for us to know the time or the season of the fulfillment of God's plan. But meantime, there is work to be done on God's good earth. It is not for us to know when Christ will come again. But meantime, we just might catch a glimpse of him in the faces of those we serve. Sure, we have problems of our own, even without surviving over a year of this pandemic, which continues to take its toll on our bodies and spirits. Those early disciples had problems too. They were a frightened little band of believers, confused, anxious, and they gazed after him. Of course they did, until those angels offered a gentle admonishment. And here's what they did next, according to Acts. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. They must have still felt grief. Jesus had been killed and raised, but here he was leaving again. Yet the Gospel of Luke adds, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Oh, let's not forget the joy. For through Jesus' ascension, he became a light for all peoples, not just for a little band of local believers. So they prayed, another way of looking up, really. And then the Spirit descended upon everyone at Pentecost. And y'all want to come back next week for more on that exciting episode. Then they went out into the world, praying and working, working and praying, blown by the Holy Spirit hither and yon across the known world, looking up, looking out, serving and glorifying God in all they did. Back to my undergraduate psychology experiment. Our findings supported our hypothesis, based upon previous research in the field, that the number of models influences human imitative behavior. In plainer English, that means that people are more likely to imitate a certain behavior when they observe more than one person doing it. In our study, zero passersby looked up when they saw only one of our team looking up. But when four of us looked up, 60% of our unwitting participants imitated them and looked up too. Kind of a good lesson for the church, huh? Of course, a lot of people try to imitate Jesus, and he's only one person, albeit one person of the triune God. But the plain truth is, if all those early disciples hadn't been empowered by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus' lead and join together to become models of Christian behavior for the world, there would be no church. When we join together and look up and look out, perhaps more people will follow our lead. Wherever we find ourselves, in worship, in Zoom business meetings, I don't know, on hold with the phone company, at our Central Park gatherings, at the grocery store, in volunteer work, in political activism and advocacy, especially when we join together as church that may be just the place to which the Spirit has brought us and empowered us to accomplish impossible things, brought us together to show Christ's love for the world. People of Second Pres, look up, look around. There is no plan B, just us. But the Spirit will break into our lives and lead us to impossible places and impossible things. And you never know who may be watching and whom we will inspire to look up and look around. Thanks be to God. Amen.